Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. I'm Aisha, your host. Muslims pay special attention to all aspects of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. From simple things like how he dressed and ate, to how he worshipped God and interacted with others. What is the value of knowing these extensive descriptions of the Prophet? How is the Prophet's message reflected in his day-to-day life? Sheikh Muhammad Ninawi is a senior scholar of Al Madina Masjid in Atlanta, Georgia. Recently, he taught a course on the portrait of Prophet Muhammad at the Reviving the Islamic Spirit Knowledge Retreat in Toronto. We sat down with him to learn more about this topic. Here is our interview now. Welcome to the show, Sheikh Ninawi.
Thank you, Aisha.
So you're here at Reviving the Islamic Spirit Conference, and one of the programs or courses that you're teaching is a portrait of the Prophet. And I'm wondering if you could comment a little bit about why this is important for Muslims.
I think the reason it's important because the Prophet ﷺ, our Prophet, was the embodiment of the message of the Creator that was sent. He was the message himself, so for us to connect back to him is very important. Among the verses in the Quran that speak about the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, or as I would like to say, it's the mission statement of our Prophet, is where Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you but as unconditional mercy to the creation. So connecting back and tapping onto that massive spiritual atmosphere, I think is very helpful, especially in times like now. And I feel that the Prophet's message is very important. But before we go to the dynamics and the mechanics of it, we need to bond with him and love him. So I think part of the reasons we're doing the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi or the portrait of the Prophet ﷺ is simply to bring him closer to people so they can actually feel him, they can see him, they can picture him, they can imagine him, they can be with him while he's eating, and how he used to behave with people, how did he treat his family, how did he treat his friends, his companions, etc., etc. And that gives them a life picture of how he ﷺ was. And I think when you know someone, that's great. You love him, and that's the point. We need love.
Can you just explain to our viewers? You use the term shama'il. What is that?
Shama'il means the portrait of the Prophet.
Okay.
So it's the characters.
Okay. So just a little bit further on that, you said it's important to love the Prophet, and you know there are other prophets as well that Muslims follow. So why is there so much emphasis on Prophet Muhammad? And sort of, you know, why is this preserved so much, especially the way he eats, the way he talks? And that's basically the course that you're teaching, right?
Correct. Obviously, to us Muslims, Prophet Muhammad is the link between us and other prophets. So in order for me to link to the other prophets, I link to them through him.
Because he's the last prophet?
He is the last prophet, and he's the last message, and he told us about the other prophets. So he told us about Musa, Moses, he told us about Isa, Jesus, and he told us about Noah and Abraham and all of them. So I link through them all through him. So it's important for me to sort of go through that, to link, and then I'll see that all the prophets were just one family, one spiritual family. Now that's one aspect. The other aspect is because what we have from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preserved. In other words, we know where he lived. We know where he was born. The very place he was born, we know it today by millimeters, in a sense. We know it where we know the place where he rested after he passed away. We know we still have relics that belong to him that are verified. We still have his family that's still descending. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still tangible in many, many, many ways to us. It's not just a story that's in a book, but it's actually things. So we want to have people connect with that. And I think from there, we can connect to all prophets because they all have the same message anyway. They all have the same goal. They all have the same creator. And they all wished well the whole creation.
Can you paint a portrait of the Prophet, and especially as you're talking about this notion of connectedness?
If I can paint the, if I can say something about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one word, I'd say that he's the one who connected those on earth with heavens.
How did he, what are some physical traits, I guess, that you could point on that would help illustrate that for our viewers a bit?
Physical traits would be medium, lighter color, loving, smiling, starting everybody he meets with greetings. Other physical traits would be generosity and things like that.
Can you comment a little bit now about his character? Maybe one example that I heard at the conference that you talked about was maybe his leadership style and the way he embodied that even when he carried himself.
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ's leadership style was leading from behind often, and he emphasized on that, especially even in walking, that, you know, walk next to me and ahead, it's okay. And that to me gives me an insight to a leading from behind style where it allows, it opens the door for the new people and the young people and everybody to lead and go. And there's the light of the prophecy is behind you, shining the way for you and before you, so you can keep going. And that's the whole point. I think that's among the most important thing, because again, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not about him being a prophet as much as him guiding you to the Creator.
How did he embody this in his relations with, I guess, family, even with the community, feeding the hungry?
You know, there was a principle, I believe, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived by, which was, if you're good to those who are good to you, then what good are you? So, when you see that, and the Quran speaks about that, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, which means, you know, ihsan is when God does you good, the Creator does you good, and He does you good whether you do good or not. And therefore, in return, He asks you to do good unto His creation, whether the creation does you good or not. Mm-hmm. So that's a fundamental Islamic principle. And I felt that the Prophet ﷺ's missions throughout his whole life was to carry out that principle. If you're good to those who are good to you, then what good are you? Now, whether that has to do with, you know, the wider community, the inner community, everyone else. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there one example that you can share that sort of sticks out to you or stands out?
Oh, there's plenty examples. I mean, examples of where people were rough in their treatment to him and he forgave them, where people were slanderous and he pardoned them, where people would withhold their hands from helping and he would extend his hand to help them. So examples are just way numerous.
Can you give us an example of how the Prophet dealt with children?
Basically, there are plenty of examples of how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with children, but it was mainly a tarbiyah, or what we call education through love and encouragements. So when you look at how, number one, there was, and again, the Prophet ﷺ came 1500 years ago or so, and displaying public affection to children was not necessarily well received back then. But we have numerous circumstances, numerous events where the Prophet ﷺ actually displayed public affections to his children and grandchildren. In fact, even when they allegedly, in the eyes of others, may have made a mistake, such as interrupting the prayer. And what he did is he actually just, he trained them through love that, you know, leave them. And so I thought that he always fudged the gaps through love and compassion.
And this was not common in the time of the Prophet.
It wasn't common that you display public affections to your children in public 1500 years ago. No, that's not what a quote-unquote a man does. All right, these things, you keep them inside your home. But he took that out and he showed them, and so that people actually objected, you know, are you kissing them? Yeah. You know, and he told them, sure I do. And one of the companions told him, but O Prophet of God, I have 10 children, I've never kissed any of them in public. I've never kissed any of them. And the prophetic response was, well, what do I do if God took mercy away from your heart? All right. So this was, and also when they made a mistake, obviously children will always make mistakes. That's just part of their upbringing, part of their growing up. So the way he handled the mistake, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, which happens to have her name, in the authentic hadith that Imam Muslim narrated, she actually says that the Prophet ﷺ never raised his hand onto a child or a woman or a servant ever, in a sense. So that's not how, it was not spanking, it was not raising his hand ever. So the whole education was through love and through corrective measures, maybe encouragement, maybe discouragement through different means, rewards and stuff. But mostly you'll see through love and affection. And it's a very difficult example to follow oftentimes, but that's what it was.
What can viewers take, living in the times that we are now, what can we learn from the life of the Prophet, Muslims and non-Muslims?
I think what we can learn from the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is very simple. Love and unconditional compassion. This whole message is about unconditional compassion and love. Love heals, love saves, and unconditional compassion is necessary.
And we definitely need love in these times, I think.
I sure do.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Ninawi.
Thank you so much.